Hey everyone, welcome back to the Harvard News Recap for the week. In this one, we have a lot going on actually. So first up, I'm going to be going to a Flock Cameras town hall meeting in North Carolina. We'll talk about that. Also going on two stops of Lewis Rossman's tour for his Own Your Shit campaign that he's doing. He's touring around the country talking about some legislation he's trying to get passed that would give you protections for owning your devices, rooting them, cybersecurity protections for purposes of investigating firmware security issues, for example. So we'll be going on two legs of that tour with him. Micron in the news, effectively, we think, stealing from customers. Additionally, NVIDIA GPU price spikes, motherboard price spikes, and at least as one positive, a cool mod that we found to help remind us all why we think this is cool, despite the company's best efforts to ruin it for everyone. Let's get into it. Before that, this video is brought to you by Montec and the 10 micro ATX case. The 10 is launching for Montec's 10-year anniversary and goes heavy on the mesh ventilation with a fine mesh front, side panel, and even heavily ventilated rear exhaust for the case. The case is an open slate for fan positioning and airflow, and also advertises 9 power supply positions, 3 motherboard positions, and 7 GPU slots across modes, which makes the case highly reconfigurable, giving you the ability to build a unique micro ATX PC that gives more space than ITX, but doesn't take the footprint of ATX. Learn more at the link in the description below. All right, so the first part of this, I'm going on tour with Lewis Rossman for two of his stops for his Own Your Shit tour around the country. Lewis's tour is aimed at taking all that frustration and anger and disbelief at the destruction of ownership in the world in general, but in particular in this country, in the U.S., and trying to point that outrage that's justified at something that will hopefully have some kind of impact. You can't ask for the world of this shit, but you got to start somewhere. And I very much respect that Lewis is trying to use this energy that people are feeling and get something done at a legal level to provide some basis at which we can all operate and understand what rights we have. He's had some level of success with this, with right to repair laws, for example. It's a constant fight. So if you're someone who feels angry or upset with how much consumers have gotten absolutely bulldozed by, at this point, the corporations and the government for ownership of your devices, for things you buy and put in your house, and how much they can infringe on your privacy is another concern entirely. So anyway, this is your chance to learn how you can work within the system that we have to try and get some laws passed. Lewis has been working with his team at the FULU Foundation, or the Freedom from Unethical Limitations on Users Foundation, to focus down DMCA Section 1201. It's very targeted. His team has done incredible work organizing this effort and is working to promote legislation that would grant exemptions from DMCA copyright law for purposes of repair and cybersecurity research. The foundation has also posted bounties, such on the PlayStation 5, for rooting devices so that users can take ownership over the hardware they buy. As we write this, the foundation has a Sony bounty for over $36,000 and an Xbox bounty for over $30,000. This is their effort. It's a FULU Foundation thing. Lewis Rossman is leading it, and I'm just a guest. They are being joined all over the country by different people in different regions. It's pretty cool. So if there's one near you, you should check it out. We'll link the Eventbrite page below. I will be joining Lewis and Kevin, his executive director, for basically panel discussion, and they're leading it, but we'll be talking about ways you can direct that energy, try to actually get something done, how and to whom you might write a letter about the laws you want to see either passed or shot down, depending on where it's coming from, and stuff like that. So we're going to be joining them for Myrtle Beach and for Raleigh. Wendell of Level One Techs is also going to be joining for the Raleigh event. I just confirmed that with him and with Lewis's team. And so I'm really excited about it. Lewis's tour has taken him to Atlanta, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Wisconsin, California. He's already visited several other states, including Washington and Tennessee. I'll join him on August 19th at Grand Strand Brewing Company in Myrtle Beach. Doors open around 6 p.m. and then again on August 20th. So you should sign up. The Myrtle Beach venue is pretty huge as far as I understand, so it should have a lot of room for people. Definitely go to that one if you can make it to it. And then the Raleigh venue, we're actively looking at getting a larger one. Currently it's limited to 75 people, which just isn't going to be enough. You should sign up anyway. It's going to give you a waitlist notification if you're beyond the 75th person, but it's very likely you still get in because we're sourcing a larger venue. It will stay in the area. It'll be nearby, and I'm sure the event organizers at FULU will probably send out an email via Eventbrite or something also, but I'll also post an update. So we'd love to see you out there. It's kind of a meetup, but it's it's really focused on, like, we want to get stuff done here. So genuinely, if you're like, I have all of this knowledge and awareness, I've accumulated so much awareness of the problems, what do I do with this? This is the thing to go to. This is where you learn what to do with the awareness that everyone's been raising for a long time now. So anyway, separately from that, NPR recently published a podcast, and it's the Indicator Planet Money series that I joined for. The Rampocalypse has made it to NPR. I guess that's an accomplishment. They asked me questions about supply chain and pricing for about half an hour, and the final cut just went out last week. Now, compared to what our audience is used to, it's a much more top-level recap. It's a lot more approachable than my relentless ranting, and has far less swearing in it. I really tried. I did my best. And if you've got someone who might not understand or care for our videos, but you want them to be informed on the issues of how memory pricing is affecting global pricing, then I think that's probably a good resource to send someone who's, you might say, more mainstream, less technical, I guess. We talked for a while. I think they mostly use the information to inform their own editorial. They've got a couple clips of me in there for a few minutes talking about a guy buying 40% of the milk in the store. So that was the quote they chose to include. I had so much information in there on that call with them. And the piece they included was me struggling to relate it back to something that I was talking about, like wafer allocation and wafer supply and the interposers and the logic dies. And at some point I was like, I need to change the scope a little bit. I was like, if a guy walks into a grocery store and buys 40% of the milk, do you think that causes problems? So that's the part that went in. Not my most technical work, but hey, it made it in there. I really appreciate them having us. It's a fun listen, and I think it's a great resource if you have someone in your life who wouldn't want to deal with, you know, all of this, but might deal with them. All right, last thing for the GN updates. This is important. So we've been monitoring town council websites in a plus or minus one state radius from us to try and figure out where we can go. And flock surveillance is a big issue all over the country. Apex right now in North Carolina, as I understand it, has several flock cameras that have popped up. We have seen them, we've validated this. And there's a town council hearing on August 11th that I'm going to, where we'll hopefully be able to talk about it, or in the very least, be able to talk to people and learn about the issue. Wikipedia notes the population as 59,000 as of 2020. The town has basically zero crime, and yet it has deployed flock cameras and scanned over 10 million times, like plates, while yielding an almost perfect zero score for the amount of hits on actual criminal activity. On further research, it seems that Apex's police department may be abusing, we think, Flock's system, as it has run more license plate lookups than neighbor Raleigh, despite Raleigh having over 500,000 residents at last known count. Apex wants to spend around $150,000 expanding the camera system, as we understand it, to 50 units across a tiny town. The town council hearing on August 11th is at 6 p.m. at 73 Hunter Street in Apex downtown. These meetings discuss some specifics, but also allow for public comments to the town council. That is where the issue of flock is being raised and protested by locals. We're going to be going there. Like most council hearings, you tend to be permitted to speak for a few minutes. Sometimes you can sign up in advance. Sometimes you do it on site. It depends on the town. If it's busy, not everyone will be able to speak, but we're going to go there. We can treat this as an impromptu meetup, I guess. I'd really like it to be focused on the flock surveillance issue. I'm happy to meet up with people, though. You're welcome to come say hi while I'm out there. But a big show of people certainly helps convince a town that, hey, people don't like this global surveillance thing you're doing. So let's get into the actual news. Up first, a post on Reddit says that Micron is screwing the user over, and we've actually received a number of reports from users reporting the same thing after we commented on that thread. So the story goes that a user had one stick of two in their 48 gigabyte kit of DDR5 fail. And so they sent in both sticks under RMA because they were bought together as a single product. And Micron then decided to offer them, I believe it was 17% of the current market value for the kit as money. Not a replacement of the parts. A cash offer of $241.86 for 48 gigabytes of memory. Fuck you, Micron. This is exactly what we were talking about when they shut down their Crucial division last year, which was their direct-to-consumer line, And that's what this falls under. The user posted to Reddit to say he sent a 48GB DDR5 kit to Crucial under lifetime warranty due to a single stick failure of one stick in the kit of two. He says Crucial sent the following email, quote, "Please note that, effective immediately, we are no longer able to offer replacement products for warranty claims. The only available resolution is a refund of the original purchase price, including any applicable taxes. This is because Crucial closed its consumer business earlier this year and has exhausted its remaining inventory. As a result, we no longer have replacement stock available and can only provide a refund of the original purchase price, including any applicable taxes," end quote. How convenient! It's almost like this was entirely predictable late last year when Micron shut down its Crucial memory business, even though it had its sell sword mercenary hired guns interviewing executives and talking on Twitter about how surely Micron will continue to service consumers just through other brands, not through their own brand this time, but they're still going to service consumers, right? No. The user states that Micron offered an impressive $241.86 for his 48GB kit, which would retail for somewhere around $1,400 today. The user points out that this is after, quote, surrendering, end quote, 24GB of functioning RAM from the two-stick kit, meaning that if he had only sent one in, he'd at least not be in as bad of a spot. Just as a reminder, Micron's operating margin for its consumer division is now around 86% as it rakes in billions of dollars per quarter. So Micron has not only offered like a fifth of the actual value of it, but has kept $700 worth of product from the consumer, reportedly, which is more than the value of the cash that they're offering, which seems an awful lot like literal theft. And in fact, I am personally so confident that this is illegal in at least some of the states where I'm a little more familiar with their consumer protection laws, like North Carolina's unfair and deceptive trade practices, for example, that I'll put this out there. If someone else has had this happen to them, or the guy who posted, in a state where it would be likely an illegal practice, we'd have to look at the state's specific laws, I will personally pay the first $10,000 of your legal fees to sue Micron. That is how confident I am in this. And that's for the first person who contacts us about this, who, you know, it seems like would have a pretty good case. So it's not going to be for everyone, but we'll at least do that. Hell, if you're in North Carolina, I'll meet up with you. I'll make the connection to lawyers if you want. Like, we know some pretty good ones here. I'd be happy to make that connection and at least pay for the first 10 grand of legal fees for, you know, the first one that looks like maybe, hey, this might actually teach them a lesson or something. So anyway, in the comments of our reply on the thread, you can email us if you're interested in that. In the comments of our reply on the thread, several users confirmed the same. Quote, "Hi, Steve, I had the same thing happen to me with Crucial support. Crucial promising replacement and then reneging after receiving faulty part. Happy to forward along my email thread with Crucial Micron support if it's of interest to you with regard to coverage," end quote. We asked for that thread. Another wrote, quote, "I'm in the same situation. If you'd like, I can forward my emails to you as well. I also called them today and tried to get a call with their manager. The representative accidentally confirmed that they had recently changed their policy, which caused a surge in calls. As a result, their manager couldn't take my call, but they assured me that they would call me back, which never happened," end quote. And another, quote, "I can also confirm that Crucial is only offering a refund of the purchase price of their product. I had a 4TB SSD, which had clear issues with sequential writes, 20MB per second, and was only offered a gift card for my original purchase price. You're also told if you want cash, you can do PayPal or Venmo, but you have to pay a 6% fee. And as all tech companies seem to be, they require you to pay for shipping for their product being defective. I haven't sent them the SSD, so if you want the SSD and or the email chain I sent, just DM me," end quote. So the shipping thing at this point, it's kind of a smaller complaint of all of it, but this is something we've been really vocal about for a long time. We pushed ASUS to pay for shipping for customers for this very reason, because it, my view has always been, if a company sells you a defective product and you paid for shipping to get it there, or not, even if free shipping, I don't really care, but if you get a product that doesn't work, they haven't actually sold you a product yet. They haven't completed their end of the deal. And if you then have to send it back, go back and forth with them to get a working product, that's their liability. They pay for the shipping because you never got the thing to begin with. You got a broken thing. It's not the thing you bought. So my view on it has always been, if there has to be a second shipment to get the thing you originally purchased, you treat the whole thing as a do-over, meaning no extra money. It's like, I paid you once already. We're going to keep with that money until I get the thing I bought and it works, you know, under reasonable merchantability, as described. So, but that's a separate issue entirely. That is unfortunately a lot less bad than the other issues we're talking about here today. So anyway, we're waiting for some of these users to forward their RMA threads over at the time of filming this anyway, so we can look further into them. Micron, as a reminder, is not only benefiting from taxpayer money to subsidize their fabs and their office build-out that will undoubtedly produce AI DRAM and support the AI market, but it is also benefiting from Trump tax breaks, and it has also seen over a 600% increase in revenue in its data center segment, while also seeing an increase from something like 15% operating margin a year ago in consumer to 86% today. And they can't afford, out of their billions of dollars of profit, to cover the fucking stick of RAM that they already took when they stole the other one from the customer. Get real. It's just like, this is what I've been complaining about for 9 months now. It's, if this were a child, it would be born. That's how long I've been complaining about Micron at this point. And it's I don't understand. I guess I do. I mean, it's post-consumer. It's what we've been saying. They don't need customers because government and AI and B2B money, so fuck them, who cares, I guess. But this is the reason it's driving me crazy is because I remember covering this stuff when they abandoned Crucial, and pretty much everyone was in agreement. But I do remember a few key people on Twitter and elsewhere who were like, no, it's getting blown out of proportion. They're only not selling to consumers directly via Crucial. That doesn't mean they're abandoning the consumer market. Fuck that. Yes, it does. This is exactly what we were talking about, and now we're seeing it happen. Anyway, this is a news show, not a Steve Rantz show. So let's move on to the next one. This one has some exclusive firsthand information we collected, and it is about the GB price increases. So not all of it's exclusive, but we'll start with the stuff that's already been reported. This past week, UDN reported that NVIDIA increased GPU and memory. I'm still pissed off about the Micron thing. I don't know, man. If you want, I'm serious. If you want to sue them and you're in a state where you think the laws are favorable for the case, then please let me know, because seriously, fuck those guys. But let's get back to the prices thing. NVIDIA GPU and memory package prices, which are bundled together often in their sale, have reportedly increased again. I'm still fuming about the Micron thing. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's like, I guess it's because we've been pointing this out, and it's just like, everybody saw this train wreck happening. We were running out of the track, and we were on the train, but there's nothing you can do about it. All right, okay, for real this time, back to the UDN story. UDN reports via Xiao Chuan Hui that Asus MSI, Gigabyte, Lead Deck, and others are seeing a 20 to 30% price increase for the GPU and GDDR memory bundle sold by NVIDIA, which this table reports as the third such price increase this year. UDN says that this is driven by a 20% increase on DRAM by Samsung, triggering a reported 20 to 30% increase on prices by NVIDIA. In a separate post, hardware enthusiast Harukazi5719, whose tweets we've covered for years now, pointed out price increases of GPUs in Korea, tracked using Danawa and compiled by Harukazi. Harukazi noted price increases of 22% for the Gigabyte RTX 5050 Windforce, 37% for a 5060 model, 50% for 5060 Ti, 50% for 5060 Ti 16 gigabyte, 16% for the 5070, 35% for the 5070 Ti, 30% for the 5080, and 3% for the 5090 Astral, which was already $3,000 or over 100% over MSRP in Korea. Another Twitter user we've covered for years, MoboMo_US, posted a notice from a Japanese source that translates as, quote, due to the manufacturer's price revision, we will be implementing a price adjustment increase starting from orders received on August 1st. We anticipate the price adjustment to be approximately 120% to 140% of the current prices. Now, for our side of the reporting, a few pieces of information. Previously, at Computex, Asus confirmed to us that it buys the GPU and the memory from NVIDIA in a package deal that includes both of them. This is something that we've long suspected to be the case. We've heard rumors. We got a confirmation of it at Computex this year. The company told us that NVIDIA sources the memory rather than, at least at that time for that product, Asus sourcing its own, and likewise the other board partners, we'd assume. Additionally, NVIDIA hasn't adjusted its own MSRP, as in the listed marketed retail price for its GPUs since launch of them. They have stayed flat. NVIDIA has also dragged its feet on the Super Series. Likely these are related because historically the Super Series has either been an increase in capacity at the same price or a reduction in price, but basically the same card plus or minus some small tweaks that maybe gain you 3% performance or something. That's not possible now. So NVIDIA hasn't adjusted its MSRP, but at least other companies have had the guts to admit that they're increasing the listed retail price, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony. All first-party sellers, you could say, whereas these are partners who are sometimes found through NVIDIA's, you know, partner commerce portal on its website. But NVIDIA also sells directly when it technically has the devices in stock, at least a minimum amount to meet whatever legal requirements they think they need to meet. But they functionally can't be sold at MSRP, which is why 5090s are now $5,000+, or at least they can't be sold at MSRP, it seems, without some kind of subsidy, normally in the form of marketing development fund. In speaking with multiple employees at board partners, OEMs, and system integrators, GN was told that companies are unable to hit the original launch MSRP of some models, like the RTX 5090. We also learned that system integrators have had such a catastrophic drop in sales, related to what we reported on in May this year in our Collapse of the Industry documentary, which is really worth a watch if you haven't seen it at this point. It's kind of some of the predictions in there from people like Rob Teller are coming true now. Anyway, we also learned that system integrators are looking at selling more workstations to customers, pivoting to sort of that AI workstation user base, looking at cloud services as well, and just generally indicating a further constriction of the consumer market and reduction in available supply because they see their businesses as non-viable for consumer. So speaking with one SI, we learned that it's specifically the GPU price from NVIDIA that has triggered its own sort of internal existential crisis right now. Looking around the web, we noticed that iBuyPower is now listing more DIY components for sale first party than we've ever noticed before without a full computer, which is a bad sign by a company whose entire overhead consists of building computers and shipping them. iBuyPower's workstation page has several references now to AI development on Blackwell GPUs, DGX, Spark supercomputers, selling pre-builts with, for example, an Intel 270K, RTX 5090, 64 gigabytes of RAM for almost $7,000. They also have what they call an AI workstation PC with a 9960X, which is $1,500 as a CPU on Newegg standalone, and an RTX Pro 6000, now around $12,000, $12,500, marked as not returnable on Newegg, so that's nice, plus 64 gigabytes of DDR5 5600 and a 2 terabyte SSD. Somehow, this AI workstation is $20,000, which seems to be an even more insane markup than gaming PCs, because that's where the money is. Going to Newegg, which has its stock price down 60 to 70% year to date, we see they autofill the search bar with AI hardware and AI workstation, even when looking at it with a cleared browser, no cookies. That's without any references to consumer builds other than, if you count it, two DDR5 references. Maybe this is based on the most common search queries on the site. We don't know. But if that's the case, this also shows where the actual buyers in the market are. So from everything we've heard, the NVIDIA MSRP target that it set over a year ago is not viable. And yet NVIDIA hasn't adjusted its marketed MSRP. It's nice to just kind of leave it out there as this small little, well, asterisk, technically it can be this price sometimes, but realistically, in practice, it's just not. And this is not a new practice from any of these companies. The difference, I think, this time is how long this has gone on and how high it's gone up. I have not personally covered price increases over MSRP this great for this long to where it's like, obviously there's a new price for these devices, but we're all just going to pretend that it's still the original MSRP. And it has gotten worse since launch. You know, in the past year, we covered how it was a paper launch. We even have a shirt where we're shredding an NVIDIA GPU, and we've got the blind eye shirt, but it has persisted. So anyway, this has a few effects. One is that board partners will start increasing prices elsewhere to cover margin reduction here. We're seeing that in motherboards. Another is the EVGA effect, where they start getting pushed out of the business, or at least focusing less on the consumer side of the business. And this is what EVGA CEO Andrew Han warned about when we covered his exit from GPUs several years ago at that point and broke the news on it. At the time, one of the things he pointed to and we talked about was how NVIDIA's entry into actually kind of competitive Founders Edition devices was another risk for these companies because NVIDIA doesn't have to pay the markup that a partner does to get its own supply. They're competing with their supplier, so NVIDIA can spend more money on something like a really expensive cooler for its GPU with liquid metal and everything else that would be impossible for a board partner to sell at a competitive price with its own supplier. This is all stuff that he had sort of talked about at the time, and it's coming true. It was a few years ahead of the game. But anyway, the next one is related to this, which is the ripple effect we're seeing, where motherboard and prices are also expected to increase now. So they are racing to prop up revenue from whatever buyers remain in the market by increasing prices. Reported by Video Cards and originally found on the Board Channels forum, a reduction in motherboard sales volume is leading to higher prices. The Board Channels post that Video Cards cites states via translation, quote, "The price of PCBs used in consumer motherboards is expected to increase by at least 50% in 2026. In addition, the prices of raw materials, such as copper, surface mount capacitors, power devices, and supporting control chips have also risen significantly, with multiple factors contributing to the overall increase in motherboard material costs. Taiwanese motherboard manufacturers are squeezed by a triple whammy of reduced volume, stagnant prices, and rising costs, resulting in significantly deteriorating profitability and pressure on their stock prices in the secondary market." Just to jump in here, I think they mean stock as an inventory in this case. "Motherboard brands," the quote continues, "such as Asus, Gigabyte, and MSI are highly likely to implement a new round of price increases in quarter three, 2026, end quote. After reading this, I did some quick calling around in the industry, and just in our own reporting here, we've learned that the OEMs and system integrators are already getting some of these conversations with the board partners. So it sounds like there may be prepping and distributors for possible price increases this year. It sounds like there's credibility to this story. Last year, when we interviewed Cooler Masters' Kim Barraza, the logistics staffer who spoke on tariffs, she had a great quote about reaching a point of singularity where the percent didn't matter anymore because it was already unviable as a product with that price increase in mind. And that was for tariffs, which is different than this. But I've been taking that quote and using it for this situation because we are at the point of singularity on the consumer side where the price increases don't even matter now because people are so beyond being able to build a computer that it has become a foreign concept for a lot of people. And it's I said it in the last news episode, but you know, it's like a luxury good, like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari going up in price, where it just doesn't matter because you were never going to buy it anyway. So most of the non-silicon vendors at this point are already down 60 to 70% year over year. There's no more volume to lose for them. They're selling to whatever market remains. For some people, that's going to be you are in a dire situation. You need a computer for whatever, your job or school or whatever, because yours died or something. Others, it's people who have money. Others, maybe you're just replacing one part and they happen to get your order, so they're happy to have it, but that's the only one they're going to get for a while. Either way, they're down so much that we're starting to see another problem, which is a brain drain in the industry. And this is the one that I think is kind of undercovered in the space. But there are a lot of people in this industry whom I've interviewed over the last 15 years or more in some cases, where they are leaving the industry because they're being laid off and there's not other options for them in the consumer side. That is a lot of experience and a lot of talent. Some really good people in that pool who are exiting and getting jobs if they can in other industries. And that talent might not come back, or at least not for a very long time. It's going to have to be built from the ground up again if there's a recovery here. And I think that's a part people aren't really thinking about too much right now because the prices overshadow it all. But if there's some recovery period, there's going to be a reset of expectations for what you get in a product. We're starting to see that where the memory capacity that's included in something like a phone is drawing down to maintain pricing. So next time there's an increase, if there's some kind of price recovery for supply, then it's going to seem like you got this big upgrade. But actually what happened was we reset the stack back several years and it shifts the perception, the expectation of what is to come from these companies, which is also not good. So anyway, let's go to the next story. All right, so the last story, I want something fun to talk about. Lately for the end of Hardware News, we've been trying to find cool maker type things that the community does. Just normal people, not big corporate fuck-ups. And so we found something cool for this past week. I saw this pop up on Reddit. User NefariousnessHole25 made a pretty cool faceplate that has an embedded Steam controller puck in it. It's got a routed wire, and then it secures the controller to the front of the Steam machine. The user wrote, quote, "This faceplate will allow you to easily dock and charge your Steam controller without having the puck dangle somewhere near the machine. Instead, the USB cable can be tucked neatly out of view. The cable you see above would normally be plugged in the back of the Steam machine," end quote. I just thought it was a cool project with a unique look to it. It's kind of fun. If you see stuff like this, please let us know in the comments, or just any, whatever the most recent video is. I probably will see it if it's early enough. And I love finding these just random cool things that just people don't like, not a big corporate endeavor, just cool shit people do with technology and electronics. So he 3D printed the stuff and embedded the puck. Pretty simple, fun idea. But anyway, that's gonna be it for this one. Thanks for watching. As always, you can go to store.gamersaccess.net if you'd like to support us directly. As always, we could use your help in funding what we do. Or you can go to patreon.com/gamersaccess if you want to throw a few bucks our way every month. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. We'll see you all next time.